ولقد أرسلنا إلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا أن اعبدوا الله فإذا هم فريقان يختصمون.
And we sent to Thamud their brother Saleh, peace be upon him, with the message, serve Allah. But all of a sudden they became split into two quarreling factions. And we sent to Thamud
Al-Araf 7:73-9, Hud 11:61-8, Al-Shu'ara 26:141-59, Al-Qamar 54:23-32, and Al-Shams 91:11-15.
Serve Allah, but all of a sudden they became split into two quarreling factions.
From the very moment Saleh, peace be upon him, embarked on his mission, his people were divided into two groups, believers and deniers of his message. As mentioned elsewhere in the Quran, a conflict ensued between these two groups. The haughty elders of his people said to those believers who had been oppressed, "Do you know that Saleh is one sent forth with a message from his Lord?" They replied, "Surely we believe in the message with which he has been sent." The haughty ones remarked, "Most certainly we disbelieve in that which you believe." Al-Araf 7:75-6. It should be remembered that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, embarked on his mission, an identical situation arose in Mecca. People were split into two groups and conflict ensued. This historical account, therefore, has a direct relevance to the situation in which these verses were revealed.
قال يا قوم لم تستعجلون بالسيئة قبل الحسنة لولا تستغفرون الله لعلكم ترحمون.
Saleh, peace be upon him, said, "My people, why do you wish to hasten that evil rather than good should come upon you? Why should you not seek pardon from Allah so that mercy be shown to you?" Saleh, peace be upon him, said, "My people, why do you wish to hasten that evil rather than good should come upon you?
Why do not they ask God to hasten in bestowing good upon them rather than to hasten in seizing them with His wrath?" In Surah Al-Araf, the Quran mentions that the chiefs of Saleh's nation said, "O Saleh, peace be upon him, bring upon us the scourge with which you threatened us if you are truly a messenger of Allah." 7:77.
قالوا اطيرنا بك وبمن معك قال طائركم عند الله بل أنتم قوم تفتنون.
They said, "We augur ill of you and those who are with you." Saleh, peace be upon him, replied, "Your augury is with Allah. The truth is that you are a people who are being tried." They said, "We augur ill of you and those who are with you."
This has two meanings. First, that Saleh's movement had proven to be an evil omen for them. From the outset of Saleh's and his companions' rebellion against their ancient religion, a series of calamities had befallen them. The assumption being that they had infuriated their deities. This was similar to the notion entertained by most other unbelieving nations. They regarded their prophets as ill omens. For example, there is a mention of a people in Surah Yasin who said to their prophets, "You are an ill omen for us." 36:18. Pharaoh's people said the same about Moses, peace be upon him. But whenever prosperity came their way, they said, "This is our due." And whatever hardship befell them, they attributed it to the misfortune of Moses, peace be upon him, and those who followed him. Surely, their misfortune had been decreed by Allah, but most of them do not know that. Al-Araf 7:131. Similar things were being said about the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Mecca. The second meaning is that Saleh's coming had caused a schism among his people. Prior to his preaching, they were one united nation following one religion, the religion of their forefathers. But as soon as Saleh, peace be upon him, started his mission, brothers became enemies of each other and sons became enemies of their fathers. Thus, a new nation had arisen from their ranks and they were extremely unhappy about it. The same remark was also hurled at the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in Mecca over and over again. The delegation which visited Abu Talib at the outset of the Prophet's mission said to him, "Let us deal with this nephew of yours who has risen against your and your forefathers' religion. He has divided our nation and has declared us as fools." On the occasion of Hajj, the Meccan unbelievers were afraid that outsiders would be attracted to the Prophet's call. Hence, they held deliberations, and what they said to the various tribes of Arabia is significant. He is a magician, and the effect of his magic is that it separates a son from his father, a brother from his brother, a wife from her husband, and a man from his family.
Saleh, peace be upon him, replied, "Your augury is with Allah. The truth is that you are a people who are being tried."
Saleh, peace be upon him, retorted that things were not as they thought. The reality was that with the commencement of his mission, they had been put to the test. Until his mission started, they had followed the path of ignorance. They did not have any criteria to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And furthermore, the worst among them enjoyed high stature, whilst those with the best abilities rolled in the dust. Now, a criterion had been established, and they would all be judged accordingly. A balance had been placed, and everyone would be judged according to his merits. The distinction between truth and falsehood had been clearly delineated. Whoever would accept the truth would succeed, no matter how worthless he had been previously perceived to be. And whoever would insist on adhering to falsehood would have no value whatsoever, no matter how vast his riches might be. Now the criterion for determining a person's worth would not be lineage. Possession of worldly means and power, the basis of such determination would rather be the acceptance of truth or falsehood.
وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ
Now, there were 9 ringleaders in the city who created corruption in the land and never worked to set things right. Now, there were 9 ringleaders in the city.
That is, 9 tribal chiefs, each of whom had a band of followers.
قَالُوا تَقَاسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ لَنُبَيِّتَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ ثُمَّ لَنَقُولَنَّ لِوَلِيِّهِ مَا شَهِدْنَا مَهْلِكَ أَهْلِهِ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ
They said, "Swear to one another in the name of Allah that we shall make a sudden night swoop on Saleh, peace be upon him, and his family, and will then tell their heirs that we did not witness the destruction of his family. We are indeed truthful." They said, "Swear to one another in the name of Allah that we shall make a sudden night swoop on Saleh, peace be upon him, and his family, and will then tell their heirs."
This refers to the chief of Saleh's tribe, peace be upon him, who, according to the ancient tribal usage, would have had the right to claim retaliation for his blood. This was the same position which Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, found himself in. The Meccan unbelievers had refrained from killing the Prophet, peace be upon him, because if they had done so, Abu Talib, the chief of Banu Hashim, would have demanded blood revenge on behalf of his clan.
That we did not witness the destruction of his family. We are indeed truthful.
This was exactly the kind of plot which the Meccan unbelievers hatched against the Prophet, peace be upon him, on the eve of his hijrah from Mecca. The plot ran as follows. A group of people representing members from all the tribes would attack the Prophet, peace be upon him, so that Banu Hashim would not be able to blame any single tribe for the crime. Additionally, it would be impossible for Banu Hashim to fight all the tribes at the same time.
وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ
Thus they planned, and we too planned, the while they did not know. Thus they planned, and we too planned, the while they did not know.
Before they could launch an attack on Saleh's place at the appointed time, God struck the whole nation with his punishment, and they were totally annihilated. It seems that they had plotted to kill Saleh, peace be upon him, after they had done away with the she-camel. It is stated in Surah Hud that when they killed the she-camel, Saleh, peace be upon him, told them that they had 3 days respite after which God's punishment would come upon them. Thereupon Saleh, peace be upon him, warned them, "Enjoy yourselves in your homes for a maximum of 3 days. This is a promise which shall not be belied." 1165. They may or may not have believed that the punishment with which Saleh, peace be upon him, had threatened would come to pass, but no matter, for they could still get rid of Saleh, peace be upon him, once and for all. So it is probable that they chose the same night for their ambush, which was the night appointed for their punishment by God. For before their hand could reach Saleh, peace be upon him, they were struck by God.
فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ
So see what was the outcome of the plan they made. We utterly destroyed them and their people, all of them.
فَتِلْكَ بُيُوتُهُمْ خَاوِيَةً بِمَا ظَلَمُوا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ
Now behold, their houses that lie in utter ruins because of their wrongdoing. Verily, there is a sign in this for the people who know. Now behold, their houses that lie in utter ruins because of their wrongdoing. Verily, there is a sign in this for the people who know.
The ignorant would say that there is no relationship between Saleh, peace be upon him, the she-camel, and the earthquake which destroyed Thamud. They say that earthquakes are a natural phenomenon which occur at their time and which have nothing to do with levels of piety, virtue, and justice obtaining in a nation. They argue that it is merely the trickery of preachers to say that a certain nation had become so wicked and sinful that a flood or earthquake or other such calamity destroyed them. Contrary to this is the view of those who truly know the reality of things. They know that it is not a deaf and blind God who rules over this universe. Rather, he who decides the fate of individuals and nations is one who is wise and all-knowing. His decisions are not bound by natural laws, rather, the laws of nature are under his command. He does not decide the fates of nations blindly. Instead, he decides on grounds of justice and wisdom. Furthermore, in his book, there is a law of retribution which operates at all levels. According to this law, the wicked are punished even in this world if they are guilty of grave infractions of morality. Those who are aware of this law will not dismiss earthquakes as merely the result of certain physical laws. They will take them as a warning and learn lessons from them. They will try to grasp the moral reasons in consideration of which God destroyed one of the most prosperous and blooming of nations, all members of which were His creatures. In fact, if they consider this seriously, they will give up those things which invite God's wrath on wicked nations, and instead follow the path which brings His mercy.
وَأَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ
And we delivered those who believed and were wont to avoid disobeying Allah.
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ
We also sent Lot, peace be upon him, and recall when he told his people, Do you commit shameless acts with your eyes open? We also sent Lot, peace be upon him.
Al-Araf 780, Hud 1174-83, Al-Hijr 15, 57-77, Al-Anbiya 21:71-5, Al-Shu'ara 26, 160-74, Al-Ankabut 29, 28-75, Al-Safat 37, 133-8, and Al-Qamar 54, 33-9.
And recall when he told his people, Do you commit shameless acts with your eyes open?
Several meanings can be attributed to this verse and probably all are meant. A. That they were not unaware of the fact that this was an immoral and obscene act and that they committed it knowingly. B. That they were not unaware of the fact that males were not created to fulfill the sexual desires of other males. The difference between males and females was quite evident to them, and still they indulged in the abominable act of sodomy. C. That they committed this abominable act publicly, as mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut, and you indulge in indecencies in your assemblies.
29:29
Do you lustfully approach men instead of women? Nay, you engage in acts of sheer ignorance. Do you lustfully approach men instead of women? Nay, you engage in acts of sheer ignorance.
The word jahala is used here in the sense of folly and imprudence, even as it has been used in Surah Al-Furqan. And when the foolish ones address them, they simply say, "Peace be to you." 25:63. But even if we were to take this word to mean lack of knowledge, its use here would signify that they did not know the evil consequences of their deeds. All that they knew was that they were engaging in an immoral act merely for the sake of sensual pleasure, but they did not know what the consequences of that perverted pleasure would be. For God's scourge was ready to strike them while they heedlessly immersed themselves in their filthy games.
فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ.
But this had only one answer from his people. They said, "Expel Lot's folk from your city. They pretend to be absolutely clean." Eventually, we saved Lot, peace be upon him, and his family, except his wife. We had decreed that she should be among those who would remain behind. Eventually, we saved Lot, peace be upon him, and his family, except his wife. We had decreed that
Lot, peace be upon him, was told not to take his wife along, for she was destined to be annihilated along with her people.
وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ.
And we rained down upon them a rain. It was an evil rain for those who had already been warned.
قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ.
Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, all praise be to Allah, and peace be on those of His servants whom He has chosen. Ask them, who is better, Allah, or the gods that they associate with Him as His partners? Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him.
The second discourse of this surah starts with this verse as its prologue. It tells Muslims how to begin their speech. This is why truly Islamic-minded people always start their speech with God's praise and by sending peace and greetings to His noble servants. It is sad that in our days, some of us have begun to consider starting speeches with the mention of God's name as an act of religious bigotry. Many contemporary Muslims have no idea as to what is the right manner of starting their speech, or if they know, they are shy about it.
Ask them, who is better, Allah, or the gods that they associate with Him as His partners?
This seems to be a very strange question to ask. Who is better, Allah or the gods that they associate with Him as His partners? For quite obviously, there can be no goodness in false gods. Even the polytheists knew that. But the question is posed here so as to warn people against the mistake they were committing. It is also quite clear that no one does anything in which he does not find some kind of benefit. If the polytheists worship deities other than the one true God, and if they ask those deities to fulfill their needs and made offerings to them, then they must be convinced that they were doing something good. Otherwise, all this would be a meaningless activity. Hence, why they are confronted with this question in no uncertain terms: who is better, Allah or the gods that they associate with Him as His partners? The polytheists did not have the courage to face the question in this manner, for even the most hardened among them would not say that his deities were better than God. And if they accepted that God was better, the very foundation of their religion would be undermined, and it would be unreasonable for them thereafter to say that they preferred that which was inferior to that which was superior. By posing this question, the Quran immediately disarms its opponents. In what follows, a series of miraculous and extraordinary elements in God's creation are mentioned in succession, each accompanied by the question, is there any God associated with Allah in these tasks? Verses 60. If the answer is no, then how could they worship anyone other than Him? According to various traditions, whenever the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited this verse, he instantly added the following words in response, Nay, Allah is better, everlasting, and most exalted and most honorable.